الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا عقل كالتدبير، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, this dunya is a place of challenges, of tests, of trials. In this dunya, a person will have different needs that he will have to fulfill. So our ulama explained to us, if a person needs to fulfill any need or he needs to solve any problem, then he needs to follow three steps. There's three steps he needs to keep in front of him, and inshallah, if he goes with these three steps, then he will be successful. The first is what we call tadbir. The second step is called tawakkul, and the third step is called tafwiz. Tadbir means that you take the necessary measures, and whatever planning is required, then you do that planning. Because this dunya is darul asbab. It's a place of cause and effect. It's a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with means. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need the means, but the system of the dunya is like that. It works like that. A man wants a house. He is not going to expect the house to just fall from the sky. Although it's possible, you cannot say it's impossible for something like this to happen. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything is possible. But he understands that he wants to build a house. Then there's some necessary steps that he is going to need to take. A person needs to go for Hajj. So first of all, he needs a valid passport. If his passport is expired, he's got to go and get a valid passport. He'll have to renew the passport. A person needs the accreditation, whatever procedures he needs to follow for him to go for Hajj. Then whatever necessary preparations he's going to need, what he needs to take along with him, the important documents that he needs. So he needs to plan himself very well. So our Buzugaradeen, they were very particular about all these things. There are a lot of system. What we lack in our lives often is discipline and system. We don't have these two things. We don't have discipline and we don't have system. So I heard Hazrat Imam Masoola Rahmatullah Ali, a recording of one of his majlises, wherein he was saying that if a person needs to undertake a journey, then he needs to work out what are going to be his expenses for that journey. Because the last thing he wants, he's going to go for the journey and then he's going to be running short of money. And then he has to ask someone, he needs to stretch his hands out in a foreign land. So he'll have to work out properly all the expenses. He knows he's going to need to buy meals, he's going to need to travel, he's going to need transport, everything. And then he says, after you worked out everything, you calculated it, then don't take that amount of money. Take double that amount of money. So if, let's say, you calculated your whole trip, you're going to need $1,000. So don't carry $1,000. Take $2,000. You don't have to use the $2,000. You can just use the $1,000. But there's many things in your mind that you could have forgotten about. There could be unexpected expenses that just comes about. The man is on the trip. He got sick. Now he needs medication. Now he needs to go to a doctor. He did not account for all of that when he was working it out. He did not think that he's going to get sick. So that's why then Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali himself, it's mentioned about him that when he would be traveling, he'll have a checklist. So he will see that, see, all this got to go in my bag. Now what is in your mind you remembered, and one thing you just forgot in the spur of the moment, you're rushing, you forgot some very important medication. Imagine the man came to Arafat. He's in the desert in Arafat, and then his chest starts paining, and then he thinks, I needed a certain medication, I'm a heart patient. Now where is he going to go get that medication from? Even if there may be some medical tent, but he might need to walk 1-2 kilometers before he actually gets it. So that's why a person needs to do the necessary planning. Even when it comes to this dunya, don't just live a haphazard life. You just spend money when you want to spend. You just waste money. So in Arabic, there's a saying, لا كثير مع التبذير ولا قليل مع التدبير. That a person who is extravagant, then nothing will be enough for him. He'll never have enough. Because extravagance, luxuries, where you stop. There's no end point to luxuries. Every day something new is coming in the market. So if your mind is designed in that way that everything new you have to have, you're never going to have enough in your life. Because you can always be looking for more. And وَلَا قَلِيلَ مَعَ التَّدْبِيرِ. But if you've got some system and some planning, then there's never an amount that is too little. Whatever little you have, you will make do with it. Because you've got some planning in your mind, you've got some structure, you know how to budget yourself. The Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yusuf, the incident of the dream the king of that time had. That was also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's unique divine system to get Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam out of the jail. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was innocently imprisoned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what was the wisdom behind that. Everything got a wisdom. Only Allah knows the wisdom. But to get him out of that prison, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the king of the time see the dream. What he sees in the dream, he sees the 7 fat cows that's being eaten and devoured by 7 lean and weak cows. 7 lean, weak cows come and swallow up the 7 fat cows. Then the king sees that there's 7 ears of grain that are green and lush and fresh. And then there's another 7 ears of grain that are dry. And that 7 ears of grain that are dry, they overlap over the 7 ears of grain that are lush and fresh and cover them. Now the king realizes this is not ordinary dream. Now there's something to this dream. So he calls all his people of his palace, the courtiers, and he tells them, I've seen this dream. And is there anyone that can interpret this dream? So they don't know the science. Remember, interpretation of dreams is a science on its own. And you cannot learn the science by reading books. A lot of people make that mistake. They read one book, they heard one dream of someone, they saw the same dream, now they're panicking. This can differ from person to person, from situation to situation, from time to time. Sometimes you're seeing a dream in summer is good, the same dream you see in winter is bad. So I don't wish to go into interpretation of dreams, that is a topic on its own, but I'm just cautioning you on this because a lot of people, their dreams, they take it very serious. In fact, a lot of our elders, they tell us in this day and time, don't take dreams very seriously because most people, the dreams are either from shaitan or either the mind is conjuring and making up the dream. The whole day you're thinking that man's your enemy, you're going to see him hitting you in the night. It's just obvious. Someone told you this person is doing something for you, you're going to see something. Shaitan's going to show you that dream. So don't get too carried away with dreams, because that, as I said, that's a topic on its own. But this king knew that there's a dream, but those people, they said, adghath wa ahlam. You know, this is just thoughts playing in your mind and you're seeing it. And we can't interpret these dreams. But one person was with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam in the prison, and he knew that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessed him with this knowledge of interpretation of dreams. And he says, send me to him. I'll get the interpretation. And here he comes to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam in the prison. Ayyuha siddiq, aftina fi sab'i baqarat, simani ya'kulun nasabun ijaf. He gives him the whole dream. So that Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't only give him the interpretation, but he even gives him the plan of action. He told him, tazra'una sab'a sinina da'aba. You people are going to grow crops for 7 years consecutively. Because 7 years that are coming, there's going to be very good rain, 7 fertile years. فَمَا حَسَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. Whatever you're going to harvest, leave the corn, leave the grain in the ears, and accept a little bit that you'll eat. You need to be careful, don't now eat everything up. Just eat a little bit what you're going to eat. And after that, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ. Then 7 years, difficult years are coming. 7 years of drought. يَأْكُلْنَا مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنْ. That's going to finish up all your supplies. People are going to be coming from far and wide. And you're going to finish up all the supplies. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تُحْسِنُونَ. Little bit you'll keep to regrow. You need some grain, you need some seeds for you to plant again. And then Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam told him something that the dream never said. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ. Then another 1 year is going to come now. The 15th year. Wherein there's going to be rain that's going to come. وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ. And you're going to get a lot of crops coming out. You're going to be squeezing your crops and your fruits, and you're going to be getting juice. So he told him something, because he was a Nabi after all. A Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to him. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam had given them a plan for 15 years. A 15 year plan he gave them. Now you get one person who doesn't know deen, doesn't know shariat. He'll say, Maulana, that's against tawakkul. That's because you don't know deen, you don't know shariat. Sometimes people read isolated stories. You cannot read an isolated story of a certain buzurg who was going to a certain condition and make that a general rule. In fact, in Sahih Muslim, there are hadiths which show that on occasions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give his wives the groceries for the whole year. What we would normally call groceries now, those days, the dates and the grain and whatever, the wheat. For the whole year, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give his wives the supply. Now you get one person saying, hey, that's... So if a person is stocking up and he's keeping something, he's keeping groceries because for whatever reason, maybe he feels the prices are going to go up and I don't want to pay extra for this, so I'd rather just buy it now. There's going to be a hike in the price increase. It's not against the tawakkul. This is all within tadbir. It's what's called planning. You're planning yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this incident in the Quran Sharif and showing you that the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and in fact when the time came, when the king heard this, he was so impressed. He said, bring that man here, I need him to be here with me. He must be my personal advisor. And then he said, who is going to take on this task? Someone has to take on this task. Yusuf alayhi salam said, Ij'alni ala khazain al-ard, appoint me, let me take on this task, because they understood that a crucial time was coming and you could not have a person who is negligent or irresponsible. People's lives were at stake. Because that whole area, there's no rain, there's famine, there's drought, people are starving. If you're going to have someone that's negligent, someone that's not hands-on and not responsible enough, then people can lose their lives. So that is why Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam took on that responsibility, and he did it very, very well. With a lot of diligence, he had fulfilled that responsibility, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for those people because of this planning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown the king the dream, and he planned himself accordingly. So this is the first thing that we speak about tadbir. As I said, time does not permit us now to go into too many details, but in different facets of our lives, you'll find that we lack this tadbir. We don't take the necessary steps. We don't do things that we're supposed to be doing. And eventually, then we end up in problems. But why did you leave it till this point? In fact, our Buzurganuddin, they used to say, Aaj ka kaam aaj nahi abhi hona chahiye. Today's work is not today. Today's work is now. So if something needs to be done today, what's our mindset? I'll leave it now. I'll see tomorrow. Monday I'll sort it out. Monday will come, next week Monday. Like that, time will just go before the man knows it. Now he's in a problem. He didn't do what he's supposed to do. So they would say that today's work is not today's now. If you need to do something today and you got time now, go and do it, because that is very, very important for you to do it. So that's the first step. The second step is even more important. That is to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't put your trust in your means that you have taken. Don't put your trust in your provisions. You did everything that you're supposed to do. The man wants to go for Hajj. He did everything that he's supposed to do. Now wake up at the time of tahajjud and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In tabligh we learn this. They speak about the effort of the day and the effort of the night. So whole day you're giving dawah, whole day you're speaking to people. Why wake up in the middle of the night, now cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put that effect in that message that you gave. Allah is going to turn the hearts. Allah is going to change the hearts. You speaking to your child, you feel, you know what, often people are saying, Monana, my child is taking a wrong line. Allah protect all our children. It can happen to anyone. Remember, this is a reality, it's happening all the time, and you will be shocked to know in the types of homes these things are happening. Just that we don't spell things out, and obviously it's not appropriate for even to, for us to divulge. It can happen to anyone, and at no point should you ever think to yourself, this cannot happen to me. Allah protect all our children, our grandchildren, and the children of the entire ummah, wherever they are, whichever part of the world they are. Remember, we are one ummah. We have to always remember this. One man's problem is my problem. I must cry for him and make dua for him. If his child is going off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must make dua for his child. I mustn't go and badmouth him. I mustn't go and talk about it to the whole world. If that man's daughter did something, he's like my daughter. How I will treat my daughter, I will brush it under the carpet, I will try to save the man's izzat, save his respect. We have to think like that and start making dua for people. Remember, when you make dua for someone else, what happens instantly? The farishtas first say, Ameen. If you're making dua for someone in his absence, he doesn't know you're making dua for him. In his absence, you're making dua for him. First of all, the farishtas are saying, Ameen. And then they making dua for you. Imagine the farishtas, walaka mimithil, may you get the same. You're making dua for his child, farishtas are making dua for your children. So we need to learn, put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the man is talking to his child. He's taking the child to the psychologist. He's taking him to the psychiatrist. He's taking him to the rehab. But what he forgot to do? He forgot to wake up in the middle of the night and shed tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that child, his heart is in your control. You can just turn it within seconds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn the heart. You know, there were people, the worst of people. Sometimes they just came, they heard one bayan, they changed. People had dreams. I know of people, friends of mine. They were like very modern people. Now they, mashallah, senior ulama. How they changed their lives? They saw one dream. They saw one dream. They saw Jahannam, or they saw something morning. They woke up, said, hey, bye, that's it, finish. Leave everything one side. Naim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make miracles happen. So this is the second step. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between azan and iqamat. Remember, at no point should you think you made sufficient dua. No. Don't ever think, if you're making 15 minutes dua, make it half an hour. You're making half an hour, make it 1 hour. Carry on making. Dua is a win-win situation. Dua is ibadat. Dua is getting Allah's proximity, is drawing Allah's rahmat. You don't know what that dua is doing for you. Allah, when He wants to bless you, He opens up the doors of dua for you. That's what He does. Carry on making dua. Collectively you make dua. Individually you make dua. Between adhan and iqamat, come a bit early to the masjid. Few minutes early. You finish, you did your sunnah, you made dua a few minutes. Dubur as-salawat il-maktubat, after namaz, again the duas are accepted. Joful Layl al Akhir, waking up in the last part of the night, again the dua is accepted. Thursday night, again dua is accepted. Friday, especially between Asr and Maghrib, dua is accepted. You're a musafir, you're making dua along your journey. You're fasting, you're making dua the whole day. At the time of iftar, you're making dua again. So all these things, whenever you read Quran, ulama explain, after you read Quran, your duas are accepted. At the time of the khatam of Quran, Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi says, إِذَا خَتَمَ الْقُرْآنِ يُؤْطَى دَعْوَةً مُسْتَجَابَةً أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. That when a person makes khatam of the Quran, Allah gives him one accepted dua. So you read in Quran, you should at least be making a khatam a month. If not a month, every 2 months, 3 months, you made the khatam, you already got it in my mind. You got it in your mind, I'm gonna make that khatam, this is the main dua I'm making. I'm making that dua for that child, or I'm making that dua for the problem, or I'm making that dua for that sickness. Carry on making dua. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to crown your efforts with success. He is going to crown your efforts with acceptance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to make it happen. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I can do nothing, I can achieve nothing. I am hopeless, I am useless, I am helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. Have that mindset. Cry to Allah, beg from Allah, plead from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you'll see Allah's help coming rushing to you. You know, as those tears start falling down, Allah's rahmat starts coming. But now, we can't cry anymore. Our hearts have gone so hard. We can't even cry. We lost that also too. So caught up with the dunya. So the first step is, you take the necessary steps. You do what you have to do. Don't be lazy. Don't be negligent. Number two, put your trust in Allah. Number three, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the outcome is, there's good in it. Someone is sick. You're making dua for shifa. You're trying everything. But the decree of Allah is that person is going to pass away. It's Allah's will. It's Allah's decree. Allah knows best. Allah says, Wallahu ya'alam. Allah knows, you don't know. Maybe that man could have suffered. Maybe he could have, something worse could have hit him. Maybe he could have lived a life like a cabbage. You don't know what was going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away. Allah knows best. It was the will of Allah. It was the decree of Allah. You did what you're supposed to do. You put your trust in Allah, always be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.